We got our first look at Luis Severino, and it wasn't that good. Let's talk about it.
You are Locked On Yankees, your daily New York Yankees podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Hey, everyone. Welcome to Locked On Yankees, which is part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. I'm your host, Stacey Gottsoulias. I'd like to thank you for making Locked On Yankees your first listen every day. We have some things to discuss, and my producer, Steve Granato, is here with me to discuss them.
Yeah, let's talk Sevy.
Yeah, we're going to talk Sevy's performance tonight, which we will say, as we always say about spring training, doesn't really matter.
Not at all.
It doesn't really matter.
There's a little, a very tinge of concern.
Right. And we'll be discussing DJ LeMahieu and his, what we expect his role to be in 2023, because the Yankees have some plans for him in spring training. We'll talk about that. And we're going to talk about everyone's favorite, I guess, subject of spring training so far, the pitch clock, because there was an incident this weekend between the Braves and the Red Sox that got some people up in arms, including former players, and we're going to discuss that. And so let's get into this. Luis Severino, got the first glimpse of him tonight against the Tigers, and it was rough. It was, his first inning was not the type of first inning that you want to see from someone. Again, spring training, the game doesn't count. Now, Michael Kay did mention that Sevy was the first person on the field. He made it onto the field ahead of all the fielders. He seemed very amped up to pitch, and he kind of looked it. He was only scheduled to pitch 40 to 45, and he was right there. But he only pitched two innings because they took him out in the third after he gave up a single. But he gave up four runs on three hits. He walked a batter, struck out a batter, and he gave up a home run. Again, it's spring training. And I always tell Yankee fans, as long as Luis Severino walks off the mound and he's not holding anything, it's a successful outing. Do you agree with me, Steve?
I would. Yeah, we can beat that like a dead horse. That, don't worry.
Yeah.
I think what was more concerning to me, if there's anything concerning, is how much he was leaving up in the zone. That was really what struck me. Velocity looked good. It was, you know, mid-90s.
Yeah. So, and he hit 97 at one point. Yeah.
Yeah. His slider just didn't look great. Like at all. It wasn't really moving much. And I mean, that homer to Eric Haas was way up in the zone. I mean, it was a belt high, you know, chest high. It was not a good pitch. And again, I'm not freaking out over here. But there's cause for concern there, maybe on a slight level, something to keep your eye on as you move through spring, and we'll see him the next time around. But yeah, it's got to finish those pitches. Maybe to your point of him being a little amped up.
You know, because he also has the pressure of this is his free agency year, and he knows that, and he knows that everyone's eyes are on him. He has the pressure to not get injured, which kind of worries me because I feel like, you know, in life when you try not to do something and you end up doing it, and it just feels like that kind of a situation could happen with Severino. Hopefully it won't. But when Jeff Nelson and Michael Kay were talking about Severino and talking about the rotation, I found it interesting that they slotted him in the three spot, seemingly leaving out Nestor Cortez, which I found very surprising after how Cortez has done the past two seasons. And I was just wondering if you had heard the same thing on the broadcast, because I was trying to listen to everything that they were saying while paying attention to the game. And I just thought it was kind of interesting that they were automatically slotting Severino into the three slot. When I talk about it, I always name him as the fourth starter.
Yeah, I did hear that too. And that kind of perked my ears. Like, I thought Rodon would, I don't know. I think a lot of it's going to have to be with health too. We know that Nestor Cortez just threw a bullpen too on Monday. So we'll see how that shakes out when he's coming back from that injury. I don't know how. I think it's maybe moot what order they end up being in. You know, 3-4, 4-5, like whatever it ends up shaking out to be. I don't think it's going to be much of a difference. They're going to get the same amount of starts and likely throw roughly the same amount of innings, barring injuries, obviously. So that did pique my ears a little bit when I heard that too. It may have just been an offhand comment. I don't think it's like a set in stone thing. I don't think that rotation is out at all yet at all.
No, it's definitely not set in stone, but it was funny because they said it once and then they said it a second time. And I thought it was just interesting where they were talking about Cole, Rodone, Severino, and then I believe Kay was the one that was like, and then Nestor Cortez. And I just found that kind of strange. No offense to Nestor Cortez, of course, because he was amazing last year, but I just thought that was interesting. And again, we don't know what Boone has in store for us because we haven't seen how anyone else is really pitched. So now, speaking of what they have up their sleeves for spring training, Brian Hoke tweeted out that DJ LeMahieu is a full go defensively. That's according to Aaron Boone. He'll play second base on Wednesday. They'll also work him in at first and third this spring. So essentially, DJ LeMahieu is going to be the player that the Yankees expected when they brought him over from Colorado, because I love to bring this up all the time. DJ LeMahieu did not start opening day 2019. Troy Tulowitzki did. And then DJ LeMahieu turned into one of the most, and I don't like using this word, but I'm going to use it because it actually fits for him, clutch players for the Yankees that year. Anytime he came up and someone was either on second or third, it was almost automatic that that person scored. And a healthy DJ LeMahieu, no matter where he plays, is going to help this team. And I think not having a healthy DJ LeMahieu last season in the playoffs contributed to the result against the Astros. It didn't really help at all. My expectations for him, I'm hoping he stays healthy. I would like a repeat of 2019 where he just really hits the ball a lot. He doesn't have to hit 25 home runs again. No one expects him to do that again. But if he becomes the machine, as they like to call him, and the automatic hitting machine that he was in 2019, that would be great. I would like that. So
yes, health, obvious, always. 125 games last season. That's not bad. Like, it's not like he played 50 games. So,
right.
Yeah. Yes. I'm with you on that. I always want health for every player everywhere, always. But I think we're starting to see how it might shake out, how Boone's going to use everybody a little bit, with still obviously the shortstop question mark, which, hey, hit that subscribe button. We're going to be talking about that soon. Full episode coming soon. You saw Cabrera at third on Monday as well. Did make an error. Tough ball. He kind of read it wrong.
Yeah, that was,
but
yeah.
Tough ball. Weird hop. In-betweener. But, I think as spring training goes on, we're going to start to maybe pick up on a little bit more cues of how everyone's going to be utilized. And LeMahieu, I'm interested in seeing how they're going to use him. We saw Willie Calhoun in the lineup too. He's the second baseman. We'll see DJ at second on Wednesday. Again, don't take too much stock into it, but just keep your eye on those trends as we're moving forward. I'm curious to see do they have a plan at second? Does it seem like they have a plan at second? I don't really think they have a plan at second right now either. Like, a lot is being made about shortstop, but I don't think they have a full-fledged plan at second yet.
Well, I hope, because, unless they somehow work out a trade before the season starts, but I don't think that's going to happen. Gleyber, he's going to be at the WBC playing for Venezuela, right?
Yes.
So he's not going to be around for, how long is the WBC?
A couple weeks.
Is it a couple? It's only a couple weeks. I know they were mentioning on the show, on the game the other day, that there might be some concern about Gleyber being away for 2 weeks, and because they're not going to have the same rules in the WBC, and he's going to be able to step out as much as possible, and he might come back into camp and forget what's going on with the pitch clock, which, nice segue, that's, we're going to get into that.
Don't get too far into that rabbit hole yet, Stace.
Yeah, no, we're going to get into that in segment two. Looking for a delicious treat, but you don't want all the fat and calories? Then you gotta try a Built Bar. Only 130 calories, 4 grams of sugar, and a whopping 17 grams of protein. And I know that we've been talking for the past few weeks where you don't have to wait around for a box because you can find them at Walmart and Sam's Club. But Built Bar sends me texts to let me know when things are being re-released. The cookie dough puffs are back out on Built.com. So if you want to try them, go to Built.com. But if you want to go into a store, you can head to your nearest Walmart today. You can walk to the pharmacy section and grab yourself a box of Built Bars. You can pick up a 4-bar box of cookies and cream, double chocolate, or coconut puffs. And if you're close to a Sam's Club, you can pick up a 13-bar box with our hit flavors, brownie batter and churro. You can thank me later. Okay, a couple things happened, actually. Funnily enough, with all the news happening this weekend, Manny Machado signed an extension, or is reportedly signing an extension for 11 years, $350 million, not $350. I would like an extension for $350, so if anyone would like to do that, that'd be great. Manny Machado was the first guy to get a pitch clock violation in the Padres' first game of spring training in the first inning. But it was the first inning, nothing doing, and it didn't really change the outcome of the game. On Saturday, the Braves and the Red Sox were tied in the bottom of the ninth. The Braves had bases loaded, two outs, and a minor leaguer playing for them didn't get back in the box quick enough. And the game ended because they gave the pitcher an automatic strike. It's spring training. They ended in a tie. Nothing doing. Now, it's spring training, as we keep saying, and it doesn't count, and it's not a big deal that it happened. But I know that some people are kind of freaking out about it because they're thinking, what if this happens during a real game? What if there's a real game that counts during the season that is determined by that kind of a call, either against the pitcher or against the batter? Now, what do you think about this?
I have so many thoughts. One, the main one is, like, calm down. Everyone,
some people are
needs
going crazy.
To calm down. It's, in case you missed yesterday's show, the first show, I'm Steve, by the way, the new guy. I'm the new guy. I was with the Rail Riders all last season. We had the pitch clock all last season. We had like a couple weeks, I think it was like 2 or 3 weeks at the start of the year where the pitch clock was like the suggested pitch clock. You know, like it was like, we're not like fully enforcing it. The first day we fully enforced it, there were 7 violations. It was a lot. What? I ran out of room to write them all.
Wow.
But after that, the next day, there was like 3. And the day after that, there was 1.
Yeah.
So it took like legit less than a week for everybody to be on board.
Yeah.
It's not as big a deal as everyone is making it out to be. It's gonna be just fine. The games will be faster and more action-packed. And it worked out fine. And mind you, we had 1 less second last year. It wasn't 15 and 20. It was 14 and 19.
Interesting.
So we had less time, and it worked out just fine. We ended up, there were a couple of instances where strike 3 was called on a violation. We ended up writing, jokingly calling them caught thinking instead of caught looking. I also was like, do I write this backwards K or forwards K? I landed on backwards and then putting a T for thinking. It happened it happened like 3 times. We saw maybe 2 or 3 ball 4s. We did see against Lehigh Valley, we had a too many pickoffs. Twice in 1 at bat. So the pitcher who was, I remember, James Marvel for Lehigh Valley, no longer in the Philly system. He, once the runner advanced to second, he thought that it reset because he went to a new base. And then he picked off again, didn't pick him off, and he was awarded third. So the pickoffs reset every batter. Not if that batter, the runner advances, but every batter. So
interesting.
That was like the only weird quirk where we were also like, wait, doesn't it reset? No, it doesn't. It's every batter. Hmm. That was it. We didn't have anything remotely close to a bases loaded called strike three. That never happened.
Right.
And you know what? That's going to make this game even quirkier. It's going to be fine. If that ends up happening in a playoff game, then it's going to be like the perfect game that wasn't the perfect game. You know, like it's going to be those types of things. It's so extremely rare. We all played all last season and didn't have any of that. It's not impossible. Of course it's not. But this is not the new norm that everyone is trying to make it out to be. It worked great. We got out of the ballpark before 10 o'clock. and that was great for fans and for journalists and for people who work in it and for the players. Like, we're moving. Like, play baseball, throw the ball. It's fine. I clearly have a lot of thoughts on this. It really is starting to bother me. I'm like, you guys all need to calm down. It's fine. It's going to be fine. Everyone needs to relax. Your thoughts?
My thoughts are, I was actually, you know, when I was watching the game tonight, at first, yes, didn't have the clock counting down in the score bug. And then I noticed it because I was like, where is the pitch clock? I didn't see it because it's off to the side at Steinbrenner Field. I guess that they can see it, but we can't see it on screen. I have to say, I liked, because, you know, God, I was at a Yankee Red Sox game on a Sunday night and Josh Beckett was pitching. And it was a 9-inning game, and I think it was 4 hours, and I wanted to throw myself off the upper deck because it was so long. And I love that guys can't dawdle and walk around and reset every pitch and, you know, spend like 40 seconds between pitches. And yeah, no, I liked it. I had my first experience watching it tonight on YES, and I thought it was great. So I think it's going to be really good. And yeah, having a game end that early, you know, Yankee games are usually 7:05, but they sometimes in the beginning of the season, they do a 6:35 start. And when those games end at like 9:15, 9:30, it's the greatest thing in the world. So if they have 6:35 starts with the new pitch clock, people will be getting out of there at like 8:45.
That's the new norm. That's the new norm. Mm-hmm. We were getting out of there. You'll have games that are 12-4 in 2 hours, 45 minutes. Which mm-hmm. is like how right. it's supposed to be. And I guess we're adding to the discourse. I guess I'm becoming the villain here because we're talking about it. But
right.
I think everyone needs to relax. Everyone needs to relax. Yeah. We're all going to forget about it. It's going to just be part of the game. After a week, we were over it. And it was like, this is just baseball now. This is just how it is. And it's fine. And it was great. It was actually better.
So we should check back next Tuesday and see how things are going.
Yeah, next week, we won't be talking about this.
Mm-hmm.
And if we are, then something crazy happened again. And that's, again, not the norm.
Right. Now, there's a little more pitch clock discourse that we're going to get into in the next section, in the next segment, which I didn't think about until Michael Kay brought it up on the YES broadcast on Monday night. So we'll discuss that in a moment. So Michael Kay said something really interesting that I didn't think of when they were discussing how much faster the game is going to be with the pitch clock. And I thought it was so funny. He was talking about how long-winded broadcasters are going to have to speed up their stories while the pitch clock is happening now because they're not going to have as long a time to babble, basically. Not babble. It's not like any of these people babble in the broadcast booth. All right, I shouldn't say that. There are some people who do that. But it's just going to be interesting to see how much the speed of the game affects the people in all the booths, TV and radio. It's going to be really interesting to see how their jobs are going to be changing with this new, quicker pace of baseball. Because baseball used to be quick years ago. You know, in my deep dives into games from the past, you would see, like you had said, like a 12-4 game played in like 2 hours and 18 minutes because there weren't 80 billion commercial breaks and you didn't have to do certain things for TV. And these guys in the past were still able to tell stories, but I feel like the guys now have gotten so used to the game being longer, and as much as they complain about it, it's going to be a learning curve for them as well.
It took some time for us, again, as a broadcaster last season with the Rail Riders, it took us some time. It's funny that it was brought up this early, and let me just also say this. In, what is it? It's February 27th as we record, February 28th as it releases. In a month, you are going to hear all these conversations again, verbatim, because now it's opening day. And now it's regular season baseball, and the people who didn't watch during spring training get to hear this again. It's going to be the exact same thing. Too. We're going to do this again, and we're going to have to talk about it again. And it's not a problem. Anyway, but so we ended up having to kind of adjust how we call the game a little bit. A little bit. It definitely, the pacing was a little weird. It took, again, a week. And there was maybe one case where I just could not finish a story. Like, I just could not get it. It took me like 2.5 innings to finish a thought because it was like 1, 2, 3, 1, 2, 3, 1, 2. I was like, and that was just the nature of the beast. But yeah, it took a little time. And maybe being of the younger generation, a dirty millennial, maybe I adjusted quicker than, say, your boomer broadcaster. But yeah, I think what it's more so going to give us as fans is funny moments. I think there's going to be times where like, oh, couldn't finish it. Bye. Got to get to a commercial break. Like, I think that's going to happen more than like, oh, I was in the middle of a Bob Uecker story and he didn't get to say what he wanted. Like, you don't remember what he's saying. Come on, let's be real. I love Bob Uecker.
Oh, yeah. And how is that going to affect people when they bring guests into the booth that aren't even broadcasters? It did affect us.
But, yeah. But it's already affected by the pace of play anyway. Like,
right.
On good ends and bad ends, you already have like, oh my gosh, like this guy just will not say a word in this interview. Like, I have to fill this for a whole inning and Garrett Cole can't throw a strike, and like, oh my gosh, this is a nightmare. Like, I have no more questions for this person. But it also happens on the same day. Like, oh, I'm having an interesting conversation, and well, I guess the Tigers decided to swing every first pitch this inning. Like, it happens anyway. So I don't think it's going to be that big of it again. If can you catch my drift? None of this is a big deal. It's fine. All this is fine. Change makes everybody scared, especially in baseball. Everyone's freaked out about change because baseball's so old. But you know. That's how it is.
Yeah. Yeah. That's part of the discourse about this. Miro from, how do you say that? Desus? Miro?
Desus and Miro. Yeah. I think it's Miro. I think it's Miro. Like
Miro. Miro. Yeah. Cause he's a,
we sound smart right now.
I know. Yeah. Well, okay. So Miro from Desus and Miro, someone had tweeted at him about baseball hasn't changed in 150 years. Why are they doing this? And he basically was calling it like a woke thing that baseball is changing. And Mero just was like, what?
Baseball's
he's like,
changed.
What is wrong?
Always.
So much.
Every sport has. The world has. That's how change, that's how life is.
And roll of all people, Aaron Judge said, well, they introduced the shot clock in basketball and everything, you know. You couldn't have guys dribbling for 5 minutes anymore, and it made the game more compact. So
it's like complaining
it's
about
same.
The three-pointer.
Yeah.
Get over it. It's here. It's here to stay. The pitch clock is here to stay. Whether you like it or not, it's here. If you don't watch, it doesn't matter. If you don't watch the game, then they're going to keep doing it.
Yeah, it's going to be there whether you like it or not. And I think it's going to, the people who are the most against it, I think they're the ones who by the end of the season are going to be like, why was I upset about this?
Yeah.
Maybe.
Maybe. Or they'll just still be stuck in, like people who are still complaining about the shot clock.
Right. So on tomorrow's show, we will be making our top picks to have a breakout spring training, and there are a lot of candidates. You have kids who are trying to get positions on the team, and you have guys who are trying to make comebacks from injuries or from just not playing well, and it should be interesting, and I already have an idea of some people that I'm going to talk about tomorrow, so that'll be fun. And for now, that's it for this episode of Locked On Yankees. I'd like to thank you for making Locked On Yankees your first listen. Now for your second listen, check out Locked On Fantasy Baseball. Win your league by listening to Matt and Dom every day as they bring you the best fantasy draft strategies. Find Locked On Fantasy Baseball wherever you get your podcasts and on YouTube. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.